Well, why should we pray? Let's turn now to back to Matthew, and we're going to go from Matthew to 1 John. So let's go to Matthew first, okay? The Gospel by Matthew, chapter 9. I'm going to give you five quick reasons why we must pray. This morning, as a believer, and if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you love Him, you will want to communicate with Him. If you know He loves you, you want to be in touch with Him. And so that's why we must pray. And the first reason we must pray is profiled for us in Matthew 9 and verse 38. And if you're a note taker, you can put this. We must pray or we will become disobedient. Did you know if you're not in touch with someone you love, you're not going to do what they want you to do? And God says, look what He says in Matthew 9:38. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. You heard Bob Nichols with that picture we just had right up here of Bobby Gupta and his family. And Bob's prayer was that as he reaches out to the scores of villages in India that have no witness for Christ. Look again at Matthew 9:38. We should be praying that laborers will go out into the harvest, that there will be those who will reach out for Jesus Christ over there and right here. And you know what? Usually if you're praying for something, your heart is open to you being a part of it. And so then God can say, oh, by the way, you're not in India going with Bobby Gupta, but how about if you? And you know people. And so if you're praying for the Lord of the harvest, you will not be disobedient. Just some verses to write down. Let me read them to you. Write down this, 1 Samuel 12:23. While you're writing, listen to what it says. Moreover, this is Samuel speaking, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. We are supposed to be ceaselessly praying, and if we don't, we're disobedient. So why should we pray? We should pray because if we don't pray, we become disobedient. Keep turning to the right in Matthew. Here's another one, Matthew 26. You know what? What will happen? We must pray or we'll become disobedient when we face temptation. That's what it says in Matthew 26:41. Jesus is speaking, remember, in the garden to his disciples at the end, just before the cross, and he says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He says, watch out. You need to be prayerful. You need to be watchful. And if we are not praying, we become disobedient in our lives. See, a prayerlessness leads to disobedience in our lives. And if we are not giving priority to prayer, we are giving place to disobedience. First reason, we must pray or we will become disobedient. Turn a little bit further to Mark chapter 9 with me in verse 29. Mark 9:29. Second point, we must pray or we become weak. You want to become weak in your spiritual life? Don't pray. You want to become strong? Pray. We must pray or we'll become weak. This is what Jesus said to the disciples, discoursing with them on prayer in Mark 9:29. So he said to them, this kind, this child that was constantly possessed by that demon, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. You know what supplication is? It's intense, earnest, self-denying, which is fasting, prayer, which is seeking God. And if you and I don't pray, we will become weak spiritually. We must pray or we will be weak. In fact, a verse to write down by the second point is Psalm 119, verse 28. This is another weakness people experience. It says, my soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. You know, our world is so oppressive at times, so much pressure on us, so many options, so many voices out there that we can melt for heaviness. We must pray or we will be weak. And the Lord says, if you're communing with me, you'll be strengthened by my spirit in the inner man. You want to make it through life? Pray. You want to be strong? Pray. You want to be weak? Don't pray. That's what he's saying. Thirdly, let's go to Luke 24. And here's the third reason why we must pray in Luke 24. In verse 45, we must pray thirdly or we will become blind to God's word. We can only understand and comprehend the ways of the Lord in His word through prayer for illumination, guidance, and obedience. We must pray or we'll become blind. You cannot understand this book. I meet people all the time and say, I don't get anything out of the Bible. I say, did you pray? Did you talk to the author? We have the wonderful privilege this morning that here with us this morning is the greatest teacher of all times, the Holy Spirit of God, who will open your heart to this book every time you ask Him, every time you seek His illumination and His guidance. See what Jesus said in Luke 24:45? He opened their understanding. He still wants to, just ask Him to, that they might comprehend the Scriptures. He still wants us to comprehend them, and He still wants to open our understanding. Do you ask? Do you ask? Do I ask? We should. We must pray, or we will become blind. We must pray, or we will become weak. We must pray, or we will become disobedient. Fourthly, let's go over to the book of James. And so keep going to the right, to James 1 and verse 5. Here's the fourth reason why we must pray. James 1, verse 5. And grab that reference so you can get it later. We must pray or we'll become foolish. We can only have wisdom when we ask God, who loves to give us His wisdom and direction. And this is what it says in James 1, 5. If any of you lacks wisdom in anything, you lack wisdom? You lack wisdom in parenting and marriage and in your how to get along with people, your interpersonal social skills. You lack wisdom in your work that you do, in your business. You lack wisdom in how to minister for the Lord. He says, you just lack wisdom. Verse 5 says, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, without reproach. It will be given to him. We must pray or we become foolish. We can only have wisdom when we ask God. He loves to share His wisdom. You know, so often, the person that has the best opinion, the great opinion that's perfect, we never consult. We're always just, well, I'm not sure what I should do. Let's see. I'll try this. Ah, it didn't work. Oh, man, I don't know what to do. And here's God who says, I want to show you what to do. And we forget to ask. There's a great story in the Old Testament. It's in Joshua 9, almost the whole ninth chapter, from 3 to 27. It's about Joshua and the Gibeonites. Remember the story? The mighty army of Israel's marching through. And God says, wipe out everybody in Canaan. Harem is the Hebrew word. Just utterly destroy them because their iniquity is full. And so Joshua's going along, and all of a sudden this delegation from a far country came. And Joshua and the elders of Israel looked at them. I mean, the hoofs of their animals were untrimmed and their hair was matty, and they even pulled out their lunch pails and it was all mold, you know, real green fuzz on everything. And those men says, we've been traveling for months. We're from months away. Would you make a covenant with us to defend us? Listen to what Joshua 9:14 says. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions. They looked in their lunch pails. But they did not ask counsel of the Lord. Did you know if you don't ask counsel of the Lord, He'll let you have what you want. And it will be wrong. And you will regret it. You don't ask counsel of the Lord how to raise your children, they will be a grief to you all of your days. You don't ask the Lord counsel for who you should marry, you will have grief all of your days. That's the problem. You don't ask wisdom, you're foolish. You go your own way, you reap what you sow. I don't think there's anything that I don't pray about because I don't think I can do anything very well. And so I always ask the one who knows, the Lord Himself. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. We must pray or we'll become foolish. Finally, we must pray or we'll become spiritually impoverished. Look at chapter 4 of James and verse 2. You lust and don't have. Verse 2 says of James 4, you murder and covet and can't obtain. You fight in war. But look at this. This is what I want you to underline in your hearts. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. We must pray or we are getting poorer spiritually every day. Think about this. We can only lay up treasure in heaven by prayerful living on earth. We can only fill our bowls of worship around God's throne by prayerfully living on earth. We can only stay in touch with God to know what we're supposed to be doing by prayerfully being in touch and communion with Him. We can only stay in love with Jesus by prayer. Did you know, if you love someone, you want to be communicating with them. 20 years ago, I was a poor grad student down at seminary in Greenville, South Carolina, and Bonnie, my wife, was a first grade teacher, and I met her, and on our first date, I said, you're who I've prayed for my whole life. What a line that was. It was true. I mean, I knew her when I saw her. I had prayed always sought the Lord's way. Her schedule was different than mine, and so I worked when she didn't, and so I could hardly see her those early days. And so I found out that there was one window in her first grade classroom that was close enough to the sidewalk I could drive by, and if I drove by real slow, I could see her. I would drive laps around that school, and the policeman would keep going like this, you know, and I was driving real slow, and when he wasn't looking, I'd back up and park and watch her. And then I'd even put notes in her box in the office. And do you know why? If you love someone, you want to communicate with them. The way I loved Bonnie and still love her is the love you and I should have for the Lord. And we should love him so much that we want to stay in touch with him and pray. And if you don't pray, you and I will become spiritually poor. Here, real quick, look at Matthew 21. Now, I'm going to read this verse, and I want you to think about it, okay? Just think about what Jesus said. Matthew 21 and verse 22. And whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Now, what do you think that verse means? Well, it certainly doesn't mean what it says. I'm sure of that, right? Isn't that what we say right away? And whatsoever you ask, believing, you'll receive them. And you know what? Because of the influence around us in this city of all the people wanting pink Cadillacs and gold rings and, you know, whatever, we know that verse can't possibly mean what it says. And so we lay it aside. So turn to Mark 11, the next book. Look at Mark 11, 22. We've dismissed that verse. Jesus couldn't possibly be saying what it sounds like he said. And so we just keep reading in our Bible. And we get to Mark 11, 22. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. What do you think that verse means? Well, it doesn't mean what it sounds like. I'm sure of that. Isn't that what we say right away? We have to look down the study notes, and we've got to get some commentaries and listen to a few tapes because it couldn't possibly mean what it says. And yet it does. Because, I mean, I could take all afternoon. John 14, 13, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. John 16, 23, and that day you'll ask me anything, whatever you ask, I will give it to you. Colossians 3, 17, whatever you do, do all in the name. He says, everything you do, do in prayer. 1 John 3, 22, whatever you ask, you receive. 1 John 5, 15, and we know that he hears whatever we ask, and we have the petitions we ask. You and I have no idea how much we're missing. Because we never ask. God wants you and me to ask things that we cannot do, that we cannot plan, that we cannot orchestrate, that we cannot program, that we cannot figure out ourselves. We want to ask him to do those things so that when he does them, he'll get all the credit. See, that's what prayer is all about. It is bringing glory to God, not riches to me, not health to me, not whatever to me. It is to accomplish God's purposes because I love him. And God has ordained that he only operates through the agency and means of our prayers. How much are you wasting this morning because you don't ask? What does God want to do in and through us that he can't until we ask? God wants to do what we can't plan, what we can't program, what we can't calculate, so that when he does it, he'll get all the credit. And we'll only experience the power God has for us as we wait upon him moment by moment in prayer. Prayer will be weak. We can only understand the word as we pray. Prayer will become blind. We can only have wisdom when we ask. Prayer become foolish. We can only have eternal reward when we pray. Prayer becomes spiritually poor. We can only avoid sin and disobedience and temptation by prayer. Pray. Or we will become disobedient. I would encourage you this morning, if you love him, pray without ceasing to him.